The second reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then verses 36 through to 43 on page 969. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them out?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." He who has ears, let him hear.
My name is James. I'm the student minister here at St. Paul's. This Bible is heavy. Wow. It's good to be here. I thoroughly enjoy speaking at 8 a.m. because I get to speak for 20 minutes. It makes things a lot easier for me. How about we pray before we begin? Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks. We give you great thanks that we can meet here together to be in your word. Thank you so much that we get to sit under it now and have you teach us. Lord, would you give us ears to hear this morning, that we would understand what it is you say to us and change our lives accordingly and change what we think accordingly. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. James Foley, an American photojournalist, was executed by ISIS militants on the 20th of August 2014. The image here is of him and the ISIS fighter that executed him. And this image appeared all over the news and websites around the world. It brought the world to a standstill. The fight and the video, titled "A Message to America," says this: "This is James Wright Foley, an American citizen of your country. As a government, you have been at the forefront of the aggression towards the Islamic State. You're no longer fighting an insurgency. We are an Islamic army, and at a state that has been accepted by a large number of Muslims worldwide. So effectively, any aggression towards the Islamic State is aggression towards Muslims from all walks of life who have accepted the Islamic Caliphate as their leadership. So any attempt by you, Obama, to deny the Muslims their rights of living in safety under the Islamic Caliphate will result in the bloodshed of your people. The ISIS fighter is not lying. Many Muslims every day are pledging their allegiance to the Islamic State, and they are doing so all around the world, including Australia. And if you've watched some of the news footage, it's frightening. They are well armed, they are well trained, and they are determined to conquer the whole Middle Eastern region and beyond and turn it into a caliphate, that is an Islamic state ruled by one supreme ruler known as the Caliph. And they will not stop until every infidel is either dead or converts to Islam. As we know, they've already killed a countless number of Christians, and the ones fortunate enough to escape death have been driven from their homes. When we see the footage, hear the stories, it's easy to be overcome by it all. Even in Australia, our security level has been risen too high, and the police this week raided homes all over Sydney and Brisbane and arrested people who are connected with ISIS. A home in Castle Hill was also targeted, was also raided. Terrorism is no longer a distance, but now threatens our homes and livelihood. It's so easy to feel powerless, especially when we see how vast ISIS has grown, how quickly the dominion in Iraq, their dominion in Iraq and Syria has grown. The question I'm sure that comes to mind is, what is God doing in all of this? How is he letting this happen? We serve a great and powerful God. We believe there is no other like him. Yet his people are suffering. In particular, in northern Iraq, they are powerless. But the enemy seems entirely powerful and entirely in control. What does this mean? Is God not willing to save his own people? Is God not able to rescue his people? What does it say about his power and control over all things? The ISIS movement is not the first to bring up these sorts of questions, and it won't be the last. As Christians have done for centuries, we're faced with present evil. We must go to the scriptures and ask, what does the Bible make of what is going on today? And what is the hidden reality behind what we see going on? This morning we begin a new series looking at the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. Looking at three different parables about the kingdom of heaven. And this morning we're going to look at one of those parables read out for us. And Jesus gives an answer to the question of evil, of how it could possibly exist in God's world. There are three things we learn about the kingdom of heaven here in this parable of weeds that help us to respond well to the movement of ISIS, to all the evil we see happening in the Middle East, and the evil that occurs in our own lives, giving us hope, assurance, and comfort now in the midst of this evil. So firstly, the kingdom of heaven is now. Verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So Jesus begins this parable by stating that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So we already know two things. A, the man owns the field, and B, he only sows good seed. And so when Jesus explains the parable to his disciples, he reveals in verse 37, the man is the Son of Man, that is Jesus. In verse 38, the field is the world. And also in verse 38, the good seed are the people of the kingdom. So putting these together, the kingdom of heaven is firstly the world we exist in, whose Lord and Master, whose King is Jesus. And the people of the kingdom are those who Jesus has chosen to be part of his kingdom. What this tells us is that the kingdom of heaven is not something far away, unreachable, or in the distant future, but the kingdom of heaven is present and now on earth. Just like the man owns the field, Jesus is the Lord of the world. It is his, and he has sown us who believe in him to belong to his kingdom. Notice that the seed sown is good seed. I know normally good is one of those adjectives that gets way overused by illiterate teenagers who answer every question with good. You ask a teenage son or daughter, how was your day at school? It was good. How are your friends? They are good. It kind of gets overused. But don't be put off by that, for we, as we read this, there's an expectation that this seed will and must grow into a good crop, ready for harvest, because it is good and healthy. In the same way, those of us who have been chosen for the kingdom will always remain in the kingdom. We are good seed, and therefore nothing can take us out of the kingdom. Those who trust in him and call upon Christ as Lord, as King, do so because they have been sown into the kingdom by him. Jesus' dominion and rule is already in place. Everything is subject to him. As Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not all authority will be given, but has been given. This is a present reality. Jesus is King of all that is in heaven and on earth. This truth only makes what we see going on around the world a lot more confusing. How do we reconcile this truth that Jesus is Lord over the whole world with the fact that evil still exists in his kingdom, with the rising kingdom of ISIS? How is that even possible? Well, the next thing we learn about the kingdom of heaven, as it is now, it is full of weeds. Verse 25. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The owner of the field sows good seed in his field, and only good seed, but while he was sleeping, someone came and sowed weeds among his seed. He is called the enemy. And it's not until the wheat sprouts out that the servants and the owner notice that there are weeds amongst the wheat. And notice the confusion of the servants. "Didn't you sow good seed?" They trust and know that the owner would never have sown deliberately bad seed in his field. But seeing the weeds, they don't understand how it could have happened. And so it makes sense for the owner to conclude that an enemy has done this. Someone who wants to compromise his field has done this. Jesus gives us the interpretation of this section. In verse 38, the weeds are the people of the evil one. And in verse 39, the enemy is the devil who is the evil one. Although Jesus as the King, the Lord over the world, his field, his world, has been compromised by the devil who has sown weeds, who has infiltrated his kingdom with people who are literally sons of the devil. What we realize from this is that the King Jesus is aware of the evil that exists in his kingdom. He is aware that Satan is attempting to compromise his world by sowing weeds, infiltrating his kingdom with those who don't belong to the kingdom. Jesus, the Lord, the owner, is aware of this. So, what will he do? Verse 28. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." One thing I've learned from this parable about gardening is that when weeds are sown with the good seed, their roots grow together. So whilst it's ideal for the owner to get rid of the weeds, he wouldn't be able to do that without actually pulling up the crop as well. Now we need to be careful about how we interpret this. Jesus doesn't actually interpret this section explicitly in his explanation to the disciples. All we can conclude from this is that the weeds exist in the world, the evil that exists in the world has not been uprooted for our sake. The weeds remain in the kingdom in order that we too might remain in his kingdom. But can't God just simply remove the weeds, remove the evil in this world without affecting his people? Can't he just do that? Why does it have to be this way? Well, they are questions this parable doesn't answer. Other parts of the scripture says in Romans 8:28, that all things happen according to his purpose to those who love him, good and evil. So we know that everything that happens to us is only for our good. 1 Peter says that suffering produces perseverance, so that's the purpose of these things remaining as well. But we don't have an explicit answer as to why exactly it has to be this way. However, what is clear from the parable is that the owner is not neglecting the issue. But part of the solution is to leave the weeds where they are. Look at the language used in verse 30. Let both grow together. Let both grow together. He is issuing a command to his servants, saying, I won't pull them up lest I pull up the wheat. So I will let them both grow together until harvest. The weeds remain in his field, not because they are able on their own, but because their owner chooses to allow them to remain. The owner's decision to not uproot the weeds is the decisive action he is taking in dealing with the problem itself. In the same way, what we might see as Jesus' inaction is in fact him acting. The parable teaches us that by allowing evil to continue to exist within his kingdom now, is not him being lazy, it's not Jesus resigning himself to defeat, it's not even him not being good. But on the contrary, it is part of his solution, it is part of how he will deal with it, the problem of evil that is best for us. ISIS is no more powerful than Jesus allows the group to be. No evil remains in his kingdom without Jesus in the first place allowing it to remain. Jesus is the king, the Lord of the world. No other kingdom can truly be able to make a stand against his. No evil can truly compromise his kingdom. No matter how strong ISIS's resolve is, no matter how powerful they grow now, let me grab that back. They are nothing in comparison to the kingdom of heaven, which they are in as weeds. They are weeds, and in reality, only one pull away from being destroyed. That is their true power in comparison to the owner of the field, the Lord of the earth, Jesus. This means for us that we can have confidence now, hope now, knowing no matter what evil we might face in our life, Jesus is king over it. Ultimately, they are only weeds, and a course of action is already in place to deal with them. Which leads finally to the last thing we learn about the kingdom of heaven from this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be vindicated. Verse 30, let both grow together until harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. The plan the owner has devised is to allow the weeds to remain only until the time of harvest, where he will instruct his servants to collect the weeds to be burnt, and then gather the wheat into his own barn. The problem of the weeds will be finally dealt with, without compromising the wheat itself. Jesus is very explicit about what he means in his explanation. Verse 40, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. The issue of evil will be dealt with when the end has come. Notice, it's not a fierce battle or a struggle against the powers of evil. It's simply a matter of pulling out weeds, like you might do in your own garden. I don't really like gardening, so I never really pull out weeds. But imagine if you've got a garden, it's not hard to pull out weeds, isn't it? It's the same. It's not hard for the Lord Jesus to pull out the weeds in his kingdom. They will be pulled and burned, and all that will be left is the wheat. Verse 40, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Right now, Christians are oppressed everywhere, being killed for their faith, driven from their homes. Not only so, but Christianity as a whole seems to be losing its influence in the West, with the debate of gay marriage intensifying, scripture in schools just hanging on. Our society is increasingly becoming more and more secular. This can make it hard to feel like we're a part of a kingdom of heaven now, that we serve a great and powerful Lord and King now, and yet we are promised that we do. It may not look like it, but our Lord Jesus is acting to deal with the problem of evil. Indeed, he has done so already. It is why he came down to earth. It is why he died and rose again to deal with sin, to deal with evil. Indeed, it is his death and resurrection that inaugurated the final day of judgment that is coming, where all the weeds will be pulled out and destroyed, and his people will be left victorious in the kingdom of their Lord Jesus. I believe Michael Green, his commentary on this parable, said it best. I've got a quote of his on the screen coming up. I'm going to read it out to you. Why does not society change? This parable speaks of the silent revolution. It speaks of the different origins and different lifestyles of members of the community. It speaks of their ultimate separation and the final vindication of God's purposes. There is a strong contrast between the present hiddenness of the church and its future vindication. Though now scarcely distinguishable from one another, one day at the final judgment, the sons of the kingdom will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We ought not to be concerned with movements such as ISIS, although they exist and seem free to commit atrocity after atrocity. The kingdom of heaven is not compromised because of such acts. Indeed, the Lord of the kingdom has acted and is acting to ensure that justice will be served that is best for his people. We must stand firm in the kingdom of heaven, knowing we do so right now. And as we see the atrocities that occur all over the world in our lives, we need to look forward to the day when justice will be served and those who commit evil will be destroyed. We must look to when we will no longer be part of a silent revolution, but stand out brightly, declared righteous in the kingdom of our Father forever. Amen.